to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris and Scotty Roberts and Micah Hanks, a roundtable discussion as we look to the past for strange events, myth, reality, something in between. Chris, you had a comment?
Yeah, I think, Scotty, you mentioned the whole archetype of the reptilian form and how that you see correlations across all the continents. The indigenous cultures here in North America talk about Pulalu Kang. The subterranean serpent that holds the earth in balance. You have the Nagas in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. Your latest book really looks at some of these cross correlations with the reptilian, I guess it would be an archetype, for lack of a better term. But why don't we go into some of those correlations real quick, just to apply this whole idea of ancient cultures sharing very similar, I guess, their own version of some of these of these subjects, especially this reptilian one. This is interesting.
I have found, and Micah just did a show on this the other night about invading reptilians or something like that, the dominance in our culture. He can speak to that, I think, a little bit. But the reptilians, as I see them, I talk about them as being a pervasive presence throughout human history. You find them in almost every culture, almost every religion. In one form or another, and you find them in simple things. I even went down to identifying things you find them where you don't even think about it. Of course, the medical caduceus is the first one we look at, the two serpents wrapped around the pole. But we don't think of things like even the rattlesnake on the Don't Tread on Me colonial American flag. The serpent shows up in so many peculiar places. As a symbol of something, a symbol of strength, a symbol of power. It's a symbol that represented at the same time both good and evil. You had the Chinese dragon that was happy. He was a happy character. He was fun, fertility, and bringing joy to its people. Never a cursed thing at all. All the way down to the serpent character in the Garden of Eden in Hebrew religion and Christianity, where you find that the serpent has become the epitome of evil. It's interesting when you start looking, even on that point, you start looking into Gnosticism and some of the other religions that speak to that very thing, and you will find that they start bringing in this duality in religion, how the religion will use, or Judeo-Christianity has used the serpent to represent one thing when in reality it meant something else. And the duality being is that there's something completely different underneath the surface. There's a completely different subtext to all of this. Beings angered with each other and fighting each other, the Elohim versus Jehovah, and things like that. It comes up with all different kinds of religious theories that are actually laced in the subtext of all of these things. The serpent, you find him everywhere, just hitting some of them lightly. You look at Quetzalcoatl of the Mayans, the feathered serpent god, and what did he do? He brought the forbidden knowledge of the gods to the humans, and he was condemned for this. You have Krishna in the Hindu religions, who sat atop a coiled serpent beneath the banyan tree in a beautiful garden and dispensed the forbidden knowledge of the gods to the humans, and in part this played in his demise. You have this archetype repeated over and over and over again in human history, where there is some dispensing of knowledge to the human race in the mythologies and in the spiritualities that is linked to some serpentine that ends up in that serpentine either causing demise or the eradication of those delivering the knowledge. And you even have this in the book of Genesis. And I'll just say this and maybe move on. Mike has got some good things I'm sure he can throw in here. But in the book of Genesis, right after the story of Adam and Eve, and what does Eve do? She takes the fruit and eats it because the serpent character beguiles her, or seduces her, as it is in Hebrew. And immediately you have a verse in Genesis 3 where it says, and Elohim, the name used for God the most in the Old Testament, which is a plurality as well as a singular, and Elohim said, the humans have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and become just like us. Let us, therefore, prevent them from also eating of the tree of life, lest they become like gods. And then you've got all the fallout of the Garden of Eden story. So you look at these tales. If you are Judeo-Christian by faith, you're going to believe them. And you say, that's fact. If you try to step outside that box and look back in, you say, that looks like an awful lot of other mythologies out there. And they all merge at the edges. And so there's this great reptilian mythos out there that I think the modern version of that is the reptilian subculture. And by the way, I was chided on a radio show once by a caller was one of the other hosts on their network. And he called in enraged with me because I was talking about it being mythological. And he said, you can go to the internet and you can see thousands of pictures of our world leaders with reptilian eyes and shape-shifting. How dare you say it's mythology? So
You just proved it right there. If you look at the eyes of every world leader, even Obama, Putin, the Bushes, you look at their eyes, oh my God.
If you catch them at the right Photoshop, the right moment, you are going to see vertical irises.
Of course, if you look at that TV show, V, that's them.
Yes.
You know, people that claim this, that these close-ups of Hillary Clinton or George Bush or whatever, those are artifacts from video compression.
They will claim, well, I did nothing to that video. Now, by the way, in my mockery of the things that are worthy of being mocked, don't misinterpret that as me saying there is no possibility here of any of this being true. I'm not talking about the photographs. I'm talking about the theories behind it, that there is something that could be that, as Dr. John Ward puts it, he talks about that hidden hand in human events. Is there a hidden hand in human events? Is there a reptilian connection to that, or something that we've translated into the reptilian connection? For me to say it does not exist would be woefully arrogant. So I like to say I cannot prove that it exists. It's intriguing to talk about how it exists, and it looks like there might be some veracity to some of this, but we don't know for sure.
Well, Michael, where do you come down on this whole idea of this reptilian, fact or correlation?
You know, again, I would come back around to the ecstatic visions and the DMT experiences, because, you know, this was one of the first areas of interest that I began to publish about these kinds of presences, I guess you could call them that. Because, again, when we talk about literal interactions with actual reptilians, I think that we should probably say that. I know a lot of listeners are aware of this, and while there is that mythological, you know, aspect to this, there are a lot of people out there in UFO circles who literally think that there are, these vile reptilian aliens that are trying to take over the world, and that, guys like David Icke have come out and said, I've heard it pronounced both ways, but, that they are literally contingents of reptilian-human hybrids among our world leaders who are trying to take over the world, which has spawned memes, and of course we find these photoshopped images online, and then people who are actually making assertions about what you just mentioned, Chris, literal, I guess they're really digital artifacts and things that can cause a person's eye to appear strange when they blink. I had a little fun with it one time when I did a video interview, and at one point I blinked and both my eyes for a moment turned this bright silver. It was because of the Skype connection, but of course, you know, I told everybody there it is. It's proof I'm a reptilian hybrid. There is and it's very interesting because for some reason people do tend to believe, certain factions of the UFO community especially, do tend to believe that this is one element of the ongoing interaction that we humans are having with extraterrestrials. Now, again, I don't hold that view, but I'm a lot like Kevin Randall in the sense that I also don't think that abduction is something that necessarily should be examined at all times alongside UFO research because of the parallels between what we see with abduction and, of course, these ecstatic experiences and things where, again, you'll find that people often do make mention of seeing reptilian beings and things like that. I don't doubt that people have had what they believe are real experiences where they have encountered what they would call a reptilian.
I've got to break it here. Reptilian break. Scotty Roberts, Micah Hanks with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. a former U.S. military intelligence officer, is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Eric Hamburg with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Ever wonder why billionaires like Warren Buffett, John Paulson are dumping their shares of U.S. company stocks? Do they know something we don't? No investor wants to own stocks with falling profit margins and shrinking dividends. Is it possible a 1987-style market crash is coming? Are these investors aware of a massive correction of up to 90%? Call me, Eric Hamburg, at 800-686-2237, extension 120, and find out why gold and silver are the only true safe haven. With the event-driven risks, such as volatility in the financial market and conflict in Syria and the Middle East, the sky is the limit for gold and silver. That's Eric Hamburg, 800-686-2237, extension 120, and I'll send you a brochure explaining why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. As a currency's value crumbles and gold being priced in dollars, metal's value will skyrocket. Again, that's Eric Hamburg, Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 120.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Reptilians, okay? Micah Hanks, Scotty Roberts joining Gene and Chris. And that, of course, we have that Paradigm Conference Symposium coming in October in Minneapolis, St. Paul. That's going to be fun. I think when people, in terms of abduction research, anyone looking into these mysteries, their point of view is, all right, if it's not real, if people are just dreaming about it, the stories would be all over the place. The fact that there is a consistency among, for example, abduction claims shows some kind of reality. I'll give you an example. Abduction researchers have apparently, or this is what they say, a fact a fact is a certain component of an abduction tale that shows a consistency and a resemblance to other tales showing a similar underlying cause. But they never say what that fact is, so when it comes up, aha, that's proof that something happened. So the question is here, does consistency show reality or just part of the human psyche?
I like that you bring up the fact, by the way, Gene. I remember Ray Palmer, of course, I believe had been the one who had begun to talk about a fact that he could.
Right. Well, I didn't want to say Ray Palmer because I remember that well, and that's been the subject of a couple of episodes at the PowerCast over this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't have to get into Ray Palmer right now, but bringing it back around to abduction, again, what you point out is that people will often look at the consistency of the experience, and they will say, see, there's clearly something going on here. Now, I won't deny that. I will say, however, though, that people have abduction-like experiences that sometimes occur from, you know, outside the conventional UFO close encounter. Some people have actually had what we might term an abduction experience that occurs completely outside of anything in relation to a flying saucer, a UFO, or any other kind of unidentified aircraft. Now, then again, there are also some object reports that obviously involve what appears to be an abduction just as well, such as the Travis Walton incident, or one of my favorites, the Pascagoula, Mississippi abduction in 1973. And so I think that you can't rule out that there is a component where people claim that they see a UFO by definition, are taken aboard that craft and have this experience in an exotic environment with exotic looking beings. But then maybe we should also look at some of the alternative aspects that can not only maybe explain aspects of that, but at least give us, you know, a different perspective on what underlying the abduction phenomenon could be going on. In the book Revelations, and also to an extent in Messengers of Deception, Jacques Vallée talked about the fact that he felt that there could be subversive terrestrial technologies that could be producing essentially these kind of abduction experiences. Now, Vallée, I think he put up very interesting questions, and even if you just look at that as speculation, you have to say, and he claimed also that he had a fact to an extent, but that he couldn't produce all the information about that for reasons of anonymity and things like that, for which he drew a lot of criticism at times. But I think that even if you just look at that in a speculative fashion, what Vallée inspired us to do was say, okay, we know that humans exist. Could there be a human explanation behind some of the abduction reports? Even some researchers like Whitley Strieber have talked about that over the years. I don't think we can rule that out in terms of the broad-reaching UFO phenomenon. We can't always assert that there is something alien going on, and the consistency of, again, the reptilian meme or archetype, we can't say that that is therefore proof that reptilians are trying to control planet Earth and abduct us and probe us and all of that sort of thing. I definitely think there's a phenomenon. I'm not sure what that is, and I don't know if it's alien.
And as I suggested before, maybe we're seeing aliens because that's part of our culture.
Well, you know, if we followed Vallée's determinations, he had said again that he felt that the fairy folklore of the British Isles and other world cultures from, you know, the past was parallel to what we perceive as the UFO phenomenon today. Now, if we all evolve, if transhumanism takes place or something like that, and we all become, you know, the aliens that we perceive today, what will aliens perceive? Will they perceive humans? Who knows? It could be very strange.
Perhaps they're wondering when we're going to visit them.
Yes.
You've got some alien, some godforsaken planet and some godforsaken galaxy billions of light years from here holding up a sign saying, take me home. You know, and I was going to suggest, and Micah brought it up too, the whole notion of, you think, of course, of the Celtic fairies, the Irish fairy folk, the Fae, and all the different, the Ben Shea and the She, all of these different entities that are there. You've got Roman Catholicism, in their theology, will teach you that all of these types of beings exist. They were the spirits that were too good for hell, but too bad for heaven back during the wars in heaven. And so Roman Catholic theology will say that they were cast to the earth, and they have they're not necessarily evil, but they're not necessarily good either. Then you will have, like Micah says, Jacques Vallée. I don't know if he put this forward as much, but today there are certainly researchers and theologians that will try to align the fairy folk with the demonic and with the alien and kind of lump those all together. I've got a book here, something called Unholy Communion, written by a couple of evangelicals that talks about this very thing. And so the theories are certainly that abound out there with all the different types of spirit beings, that you might be just having different incarnations of the same thing, be they all aliens, all demonic, all angelic, all spirit, all something different, or all different kinds of things. We don't know.
All right, yeah, so I think there's another question that we'll ask from a skeptical point of view. And that is, these are great stories to collect, and some of those things we find in caves and these artifacts are intriguing. But is there ever any way we can prove anything without this outside force making itself known, if there is an independent outside force?
Well, you know, Gene, that brings to mind something very important. And I would like to tie this more to modern UFO research, because, you know, Scotty and I are both very esoteric in our interest. I think that you have to look at all these areas, and this is something Chris and I in our personal conversations have talked about time and time again, and something that drew me to Chris's research also, Stalking the Tricksters and books like that. You have to look at all the different varieties of phenomena so as to perhaps better be able to understand them as individuals. And there's an art to being able to look at them individually and not allow your interest and your focus on other areas to necessarily contaminate. You have to be able to see parallels without allowing them to contaminate and say that there's this unity between all these things and we're all experiencing the same thing. So in the context of modern ufology, I'm very quick to point out, for instance, that we have a lot of evidence in the form of eyewitness testimonies. In fact, I put an article up on my website recently that talks about police officers encountering UFOs and multiple witness UFO encounters that involve police. Those are very credible, and they seem to amount to something. But the eyewitness, even the very, very good eyewitness encounter, it has to be differentiated from the physical evidence, the hard proof, you know, the metallic slag or, you know, the radiation. That is something that I don't think that researchers today focus on as much as maybe they did in the past. And maybe that is because of so much speculation in the field of ufology or anything else. We're going to need absolute hard physical proof in order to actually prove something. That's why they call it proof. There may be evidence of other things, and we may be able to attain this evidence through testimony, but that alone I don't think is going to be enough to prove. And that's one of the problems we face when we look at ancient mysteries, is we can't travel back in time. People are always looking for proof, you know, dig sites, ancient burial mounds, different various sites throughout the ancient world that exist today. They want to find proof of interaction with intelligent beings and the like. It may be more difficult for us to find that, and I think that the only thing that we have concretely found is proof that there were intelligences here on Earth that were of a terrestrial variety that were capable of advanced things. And, of course, this is probably the source behind these pyramids and things like this.
Like this, Micah Hanks, Scotty Roberts, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
And you thought the most painful question from your child was this.
Are we there yet?
Questions on family trips are nothing compared to questions from real family emergencies caused by weather, natural disasters, or terrorism.
I'm super hungry. What are we going to eat?
Daddy, I'm scared. Why don't we have enough food?
Daddy should have been better prepared.
September is National Preparedness Month. Now you can be prepared. Now you should. Now you have awareness. And now you have your solution. Go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy will get you ready with the Family First Responders Kit. It's your emergency solution with delicious freeze-dried food, safe water, and even fire starting. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. Protect your family now with emergency preparedness and say,
we're there!
FreezeDryGuy.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Can you pluck a chicken in about 90 seconds? You can with Power Plucker. Plucking by hand is a chore, but the Power Plucker makes it fast and easy. Simply chuck Power Plucker into your power drill and watch those feathers fly off. Save time and money with our complete home processing kits, too. For free USA shipping and 10% discount, go to PowerPlucker.com and enter promo code RADIO. PowerPlucker.com, the only drill-powered poultry plucker.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we look at this, the possible interaction with advanced ancients who were of this earth. And I know briefly with our conversation with Walter Bosley last week, we were talking about possible breakaway civilizations, and that's also indicated by the book by the late Mac Tonies, The Crypto-Terrestrials, by discussions of Deros, Tiros, whatever, that at one time we did have this breakaway civilization that exists unto itself, has its own advancements, and occasionally we see them in the way of UFOs. The theory that maybe our governments know of them, but choose not to intervene because they have no choice, and therefore they have this uneasy truce. We don't know.
You know, it's interesting when we look at that, especially in relation to something I'm sure your listenership is well acquainted with, and that is the idea of a Nazi UFO mythos. You know, earlier this year, Chris and I caught up with Rich Dolan, and throughout the weekend at the International UFO Congress, Rich and I brought that subject up a few times. The breakaway civilization component is interesting to me because there are a lot of ways that people could look at that. For instance, one theory that some researchers have put forth is that maybe aspects of what we call the UFO phenomenon could actually stem from an ancient civilization that emanated here on Earth and that broke away, and that they have continued to have interactions with planet Earth throughout. And of course, you know, I guess this gets into kind of an eschatological discussion, because the theory would also incorporate that throughout the ages there have been cataclysmic events that have occurred on planet Earth, erased notions of the ancient terrestrial technologies that existed here. We think that we're the first ones to have achieved this state, and yet we are met with a presence that appears to extend far beyond that. Now, that gets almost into the realm of more what I would call science fiction. Again, it's very difficult to prove that our UFO companions, whatever these things are, and I do think that there are tangible physical UFO craft interacting with us here on planet Earth. I don't know that we can assert with certainty that they were terrestrial once, that they left and that they've come back, and that they were here before we were and managed to escape before whatever great cataclysm preceded our civilization. But that is a theory that people have put forth. I think a more likely and more plausible approach would be that if indeed there were extremely highly covert and sensitive projects that were taking place during the war years, specifically maybe some that were being carried out by the Nazis, if these technologies were either carried out in secret and then moved secretly after the war or toward the end of the war, or if they were captured by the Allies and they have been utilized in black budget programs and black ops programs and things that have maintained a level of secrecy over the last several decades following the Second World War. To me, if there is a component that is indeed an aspect of human civilization that exists and even operates apart from what we know as civilization and technology today on planet Earth, that seems more plausible to me, and which it essentially entails the same concept, that there could be an advanced technology that could literally exist here on Earth, but that could operate so apart from what most of us know on a conventional level that we perceive it as being something alien or exotic. It certainly would be exotic to most people. And to me, I think that that's something that has to be taken seriously with considerations of what the UFO phenomenon may be, because we have to acknowledge there being some sort of a physical presence to this. I don't know that it's aliens. I'm not saying it's aliens, but I think that there are UFOs, and so that breakaway civilization component is something that really should probably get a lot more attention. I'm kind of amazed that more people gravitate toward the alien theory when, again, there seems to be a lot of plausible evidence that points to there being terrestrial technologies that have been kept highly covert for the last several decades.
But, you know, that theory tends to be given less credence in the possibility that E.T. lives, you know, 100 light years away. That they live in our own backyard, in caves, you know, in the caverns underneath the earth, or within the hollow earth, if we want to get to that theory. And Ray Palmer, by the way, to mention him again, had a theory about the hollow earth once upon a time, but that goes back to even the early works of fact writers and fiction writers such as Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think kind of tying this in with where Scotty comes from this and his perspective, what we often see is that there's a mythological component to a lot of it. And we see that I think very much in the modern sense, UFO phenomenon has been directly influenced by science fiction and fiction literature. And I think that in the same way, people can look at ancient mysteries and they can look at the mythic traditions of ancient cultures. Scotty, I want you to actually elaborate on this, but I'll just...
All right.
I'll stop at saying that mythic traditions, I think, are obviously mythological. They may have some basis and some root in fact, but that I think that what we perceive as being the truth about the ancient world, you know, the ancient astronaut theories and all this, they're directly influenced by mythology, just like our modern UFO phenomenon at times. Not to say there isn't a real phenomenon, but it is definitely influenced by the fiction of the day.
Well, a good case in point in more modern history, if you will, World War II. Look at the mythology, if you will, the science fiction, the fictional writing that has risen up around some of the nutty stuff that Adolf Hitler did and looked for. You were talking about the Hollow Earth a minute ago. Think of Bulwer Lytton back in the 1870s wrote what is considered to be the first science fiction novel. And it was I can't remember the title, but this underground civilization, like an Atlantis type of civilization, only underground, discovered by a couple of hikers who went down and spelunking in caves. And their whole culture operated off of an energy source called Vril. And this was an angelic source, some kind of miraculous a substance. And what did Hitler up and go do during the years just prior to World War II? They went looking for this stuff, and they sent expeditions out down to the South Pole looking for the entrance to the underworld, looking for Vril. Just take that fact alone and look at the mythology that's risen up around the Third Reich and the Third Reich's interest in the occult and in all these different types. Look at all the stories that have risen out of all the movies. Everything you can think of. Now, that is a good example of what happened in ancient culture, where we didn't have mass media like we have today and developing mass media over the last 70 years. But what they did have was they had that word of mouth, that oral tradition that would pass on tradition from one set of people to another. It wouldn't even have to necessarily be different cultures. It could be just different city states, different city groups, different tribal cultures living, and then on to, of course, neighboring cultures. So the idea that all mythology has as at its source point some nugget or kernel of truth is, I think, one of the most superlative little nuggets of information that we have, or notions that we have, is that all mythology has its source point somewhere in truth and or fact.
But we can't have a team of crack investigators find the kernel of truth and separate the fact
problem
from fiction.
That's the problem. Did Hitler find Vril? I don't think so. So we look for these things that we think we have really solid. Now Micah addressed something congruent with this conversation, talking about the very real possibility that people have had physical visitation. What do you do with that when you try to link it to the mythology? Does that make the mythology, does that suddenly expand the mythology into a more factual theory? Does it do away with the mythology and say it's something completely different? It's like if you had that one little tidbit of information that made something so, it cracks the whole thing wide open. I have to use a biblical example again. That's my old training, of course, but my schooling and education. But for centuries, it was thought that Jesus was a myth. The events around him were mythological or legendary, whichever way you want to look at it. And the man Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor of Judea, was thought to be a myth, part of the Jesus myth. And there was, because there was no real solid evidence that he existed, although there were lots of documents out there. It was nothing officially Roman. And it wasn't until 1964 in Caesarea Philippi on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, where the Roman procurator had his seat of government in Judea in the first century, that they found a gymnasium dating back to the first century A.D., and a cornerstone that read Praefectus Pontius Pilatus, dedicating this gymnasium to Tiberius Caesar.
All right, that's intriguing enough, isn't it? Micah Hanks, Scott Allen Roberts with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's a huge and hushed up conspiracy going on that's about to turn your lives upside down in the coming few months. Unbelievably, the media are keeping quiet about this. I'm sure they know it, but they probably know that revealing it on TV will generate mass hysteria and chaos. But I believe you should be informed about it, because when the sinister agenda is finally accomplished and everything unravels, only those who know this secret info will survive and thrive. Go to 123conspiracy.com right now to see the truth. The video at 123conspiracy.com reveals the real, secret reason why Obama is after your guns and ammo, And it's not just in response to mass murders of preparing for war. It's something much darker. Go watch the video now at 123conspiracy.com before they shut it down. Again, that's 123conspiracy.com.
Hey, everybody, Jason Lewis here with another great idea from JasonLewisTeam.com. Now, how would you like an energy drink that's actually good for you? That's right, one that not only gives you an afternoon pick-me-up, but that's loaded with the most important antioxidants for reducing the damage from stress. It's called Pollen Burst, and it's a natural burst of energy that lasts for hours. Now, most energy drinks rely on a massive dose of caffeine, sugar, or even vitamin B. Pollen Burst takes a more balanced approach, and that's why I like it. I also love the fact that Pollen Burst has plenty of vitamin D and green tea extract. This is the best energy drink I've ever tried. So trust me, you'll not only like it better than the others, you'll love the way it's individually packaged for freshness as well. They've got these on-the-go stick packs. They're great. Pollen Burst. It's available at JasonLewisTeam.com or simply call 1-855-310-TEAM. For a natural burst of energy, it's Pollen Burst at JasonLewisTeam.com or 1-855-310-TEAM.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, we now have Chris has now become a crypto-terrestrial. That's his crypto-terrestrial voice that he's been perfecting for many months. You know, if you're busy writing 24/7 a book on cattle mutilations, you got to feel mutilated, right, Chris?
Well, it's thousands of pounds of potential physical evidence. So, you know, I don't think we should discount the subject. I think it's very important. It may tie into the ancient practice of animal sacrifice, which is one of the threads of inquiry and research that I really dive into in this book, that there could possibly be a connection all the way back, you know, thousands of years to sacrificing animals to the gods.
Let's get back to our discussion with Scott and with Micah. Guys, the thing that we had covered towards the beginning here, let's kind of move on from there. And that is, all right, if E.T. really visited us, or if there was a breakaway civilization, and we get back to the story, how do we find proof? I would think if there's another civilization here, how could they hide themselves from us?
Well, there are a number of ways, though, that could happen. I mean, in truth, we have to take into consideration, and I often point this out, again, when it comes to modern present day, let's even take it outside ufology, and let's look at the search for extraterrestrial life. Now, or intelligence, if we want to, you know, evoke SETI. A lot of ufologists, a lot of scientists outside ufology are critical of SETI, and rightly so. And that's all kind of an old argument. But I think that the point is that very simply, we can say when we're looking for aliens, most scientists today are not looking for aliens. They're looking for humans because we're looking for aliens that will literally cave to all the typical associations we make with life based on, or I should say more specifically, intelligent life based on what we know humans to be. And so we look for aliens that are going to operate similar to humans, that are going to have similar values, a similar mode of intelligence, or maybe even, let's take it outside that and say, a similar mode of consciousness. How are we to know that intelligence elsewhere in the universe will even take on what we would recognize as being a physical form? How do we know that consciousness is always the same and that it always manifests in the exact same ways on a universal scale? I think that if it comes to recognizing an intelligence in our midst, we have to be aware of the fact that there may be other kinds and other modes of intelligence. Maybe that on an evolutionary scale, humankind has not yet evolved to a point of being able to recognize as being intelligence. They could well exceed our capabilities, and they could be right in our midst, and we wouldn't even recognize them. Now, that is speculative.
But you raise a point there. And it was considered in a sci-fi film, Contact, based on the Carl Sagan novel, where Jodie Foster plays this young astronomer who meets up with E.T., but E.T. says to her, I'm coming here in the form of your late father because you could not accept the way I really look. And then we have to look at the limitations of our search for so-called M-type planets. Planets in other solar systems that could harbor life as we know it. But we don't always consider, what about life that is not as we know it? Can we consider that outside of Star Trek, of course?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or SETI, assuming that the alien civilizations out there, or intelligent civilizations, have radio broadcasts. I mean, that to me is so ludicrous to limit yourself in your thinking by thinking that that particular bandwidth is going to be producing any sort of evidence.
Therefore, they're going to look at the sacred documents that you saw in the film Galaxy Quest, where this was kind of a satire, really great satire, of Star Trek. And it was all about this TV show that aliens saw and assumed this TV show, which was kind of a Star Trek type of show, was really a sacred document, an historical document, and they based an entire civilization on this historical document. And that was the biggest joke of all, and I'm sure the people who wrote that were smart enough to realize this.
Oh, certainly. You know, another thing, too, that reminds me of, Gene, is the fact that we have to, I think humans have a natural potential to want to think that they have access to inside information. Now, what is interesting is that I often find that in UFO circles, or if you want to go outside that and say even just the esoteric and the strange and the unexplained research, people do tend to have colleagues, I know I have a number of them, who won't go on record and say things, but they will tell me things, academic professors and people who I find to be very credible, but they realize they'll lose their tenure if they talk publicly about things. And so they're very forthcoming with me about things that they have observed and information that they may have. I less often see people who brand themselves as skeptical debunkers having access to those kind of people. They don't seem to be as inviting of that kind of information. And so I would point that out peripherally, but coming around to the idea of people generally just kind of wanting to have access to information, whether or not skeptics or quote-unquote researchers or believers have a greater degree of access than the other, I think everybody really kind of at the end of the day wants to feel like they have something that everyone else doesn't have access to. And so maybe to an extent, part of our fascination with trying to understand today stems to the ancient past, and people, some very credible researchers, and not to say that it's wrong that they do this, but they may be drawn to the ancient past and to some of the mysteries of the past because they feel that the mysteries that are presented with ancient times point to a greater reality that can help us come to terms with and resolve issues that we see today. And they look at that as that same sort of a source of an inexplicable inside intelligence that most people are going to completely overlook, which in truth bears the truth and the promise of what we're supposed to be able to learn tomorrow. I think that it really kind of comes around to that. And that everyone wants to be able to have access to something that other people aren't paying attention to. Now, the question is that a good source of information, whether it be from the ancient past or, as we see with these singularity people today, they look to the future and think that all the answers are going to be in 20 years. Ray Kurzweil and people say we're all going to be, you know, uploading our brains into machines and things like that. I don't know that that's any more of a valid source of information or expectation than looking to the ancient past for mysteries and resolution for what we're dealing with right here in the here and now.
We're not going to be uploading our brains into machines?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying maybe we haven't gotten there yet.
Or maybe we don't want to get there, but it's a way to preserve your life.
You know, the singularity thing, I got to point this out too. And I know last time I came on this show, I was talking about my book, The UFO Singularity. I'm happy to look at UFO phenomenon parallel with the singularity movement. I also will acknowledge that I'm very agnostic about singularity. And furthermore, I'm already seeing, and maybe you guys have noticed this too, there is a bit of a wish fulfillment aspect to it. I see very religious kind of overtones beginning to appear in the singularity mythos. And I'll call it a mythos because, again, people are talking about they want to live forever, and this is how we're going to preserve our bodies for all time, bring the dead back to the living. You know, we're going to make all these, you know, incredible advancements that will solve all the problems of hunger and all the problems of scarcity that we deal with economically and otherwise today on planet Earth. I think maybe in the future we will utilize technology that does all these kinds of things, but there is definitely an almost religious overtone beginning to appear with singularity, and I'm very cautious of that because, again, as soon as people start overriding intelligence and logic and they start literally holding on to belief and presumption, that can become a little scary. I'm beginning to see some of that in the singularity circles.
Scott, you have a comment about this?
I do. And I was waiting to see if somebody else was going to jump in there about the singularity. I don't speak to the singularity as well as Micah does. I actually sit at his feet and absorb what he has to say about that. But my take on this is one of whether or not, and Micah and I have talked about this many times, and that is this idea of being skeptical versus being not skeptical, being religious or faithful versus being scientific or agnostic, as Micah said. There's an approach you sometimes have to take where you have to say, I have to be agnostic in this. I have to remove myself from the box in order to view it as objectively as possible without tainting it with what my particular viewpoint or belief might be. I like to say, to me, skepticism, there's two different kinds of skeptics. And Micah, don't roll your eyes. We talk about this so much. But I believe there's two different types of skeptics. There's the big S skeptic and the little S skeptic. And the big S, capital S skeptic, is the skeptic who is out there that is really, to me, more of a cynic than anything. It's I cannot accept that. The pet answer for everything is, no, it isn't. No, it doesn't. And to me, that's not skepticism. That's denialism. That's cynicism. The small S skeptic, on the other hand, is the skeptic that will say, I don't know that that is true. I have to approach this from an agnostic position. And I would, if I cannot join you on trying to prove the facts here, perhaps you can show me the evidence of that. I want to know. It's almost like the pop culture reference, the Fox Mulder poster. I want to believe. There's a certain aspect in all of this. I want to believe these things are so.
We've got Scotty Roberts and Micah Hanks with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.